Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Former Washington great Joe Theismann with the Bull and the Fox here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Joe, how are you? Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome, guys. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Joe, I know you had a book come out this year. This was a good – it's been a rough year, but it's a good year to have a book come out because people are home and have time to read. How to be a champion every day, six timeless keys to success. Tell us a little about the book.
Yeah, it basically is a book written from my experiences. It talks about the relationship between the world of sports, the world of business, and our own lives. And there are tremendous parallels between them. And, you know, I talk about my experiences with Coach Gibbs and all the opportunities I've had to be a part of the Washington football franchise. And it's really it's a fun read. It's 162 pages. It won't take you long. But it's the kind of thing where, you know, you're right. It's good and it's bad because I can't get out and do autograph sessions because nobody's allowing groups together.
Yeah.
And yet – people can order it online. It takes a little bit of football. General Colin Powell helped me with, contributed with it from a leadership standpoint. And, of course, Coach Diz. I talk about my historic one-yard punt against the Chicago Bears. So, and the Super Bowl experience, some of the things that sort of inside the game. But a lot of it has to do with managing our lives, focusing it, taking care of one another, and the lessons that I learned, to be honest with you, while I was playing ball and then right after I got hurt, you know, that night, November 18th, 1985, yeah, changed my life completely. And so we talk about a lot of those things, but it's a light read. And then I close with Derek Jeter has a website called A Letter to My Younger Self. We did those a long time ago. And I say this to anybody that's listening. If you could write a letter to your younger self, what advice would you give yourself? It's a great exercise.
Wow.
To
yeah.
do.
Yeah.
To really stop and think about your life and what you've done and what's going forward. But I appreciate you letting me talk about it. I hope people enjoy it. I hope people take the time to want to get it.
Yeah, no doubt. Sounds very interesting. We're talking with Joe Theismann, a Super Bowl champ, the MVP in 1983. And, you know, Joe, Washington's got a young quarterback now in Dwayne Haskins, a guy we know well from his time at Ohio State. He struggled when he first went in there last year, played well right at the end, did a nice job rallying the team back against Philly in week one, but obviously this week didn't go as well. They lost to Arizona. Where is he at? Where, what do you think about him right now, these few games into his second year?
Well, the thing was, is I watched him progress, get better and better and better through the course of last year, which I was very encouraged about. Now, all of a sudden, you bring in a new system with no offseason to be able to really get comfortable with it. And I think what you see is Dwayne struggling, trying to figure out exactly what he needs to do. He usually comes out in the last two games, he's come out just really geeked up, for lack of a better term. I mean, he's getting the ball out of his hands very quickly, and then he sort of settles in and relaxes a little bit more. And I think what he's got to try and do is just relax from the beginning. He throws the ball well. He moves around well. He loves football. He processes the information. Now he lacks the one thing that so many young guys, and we saw Baker go through this, the young guys just really have never had a chance to be able to get out there and get the experience. I mean, you can't make up experience. You have to go through the process. And that's exactly what Dwayne's going through right now, is the process. I think Ron Rivera is going to be the coach here for an extended period of time, which will be great for him because he needs that stability. He only really had 1 year in college, had 1 year part of a season as a pro here in Washington, and now he's got two games in. But I like fundamentally everything I see.
Joe, how do you feel about the weapons around him? Obviously, we know Terry McLaurin, who is a Buckeye and had a great year last year and then off to a pretty good start this year as well, 12 catches already, nearly 200 yards. The running backs, the receivers, and tight ends, how are the weapons around Haskins? Are they good enough?
No, they're not. It's a very limited group. Steven Sims Jr. Is the slot receiver and does a good job. But, I mean, you really don't have proven individuals when it comes to having the ability to be able to go out and make plays as a complement to Terry. Of course, for years we waited for Jordan Reed here in Washington to be able to step up and make plays, and Jordan was hurt so much. Never really had a chance to play other than a couple of years, and then spent a lot of time injured. And, you know, you saw what a tight end can do last night for the Raiders. The presence of the tight end is so essential. We've seen it in Cleveland. You see it in Kansas City. You see it in Philadelphia. The game has really evolved to speed outside with an individual and then mismatches on the inside with tight ends. And then, to me, you know, Cleveland is as stacked offensively as any team in football. And the Washington the Washington football team just doesn't have those weapons yet. And it's something they're going to have to look at. And the offensive line is still a work in progress. Both the left side has been rebuilt. The entire running back situation are all new. And like I said, you can't emphasize enough that the guys that are playing on teams, the guys that have changed teams, the coaches that have taken over teams in this year are at a distinct disadvantage. Like, for example, in Cleveland, you've got a core of players that have been together. Yeah, it's somewhat of a new system, but there are core of players that have been together. In Ron Rivera's case in Washington, you don't have that core of players, and you're still trying to implement a new system. That's why I think you look at, you know, the Saints lost last night, but you got to figure they're going to be in the hunt going forward. Tom Brady is a one-person adjustment down in Tampa. That won't take very long as far as Tom goes. But you look at the Packers, you look at the numbers that Aaron's putting up. It's not coincidental in this year. You know, these first couple games to me are just glorified preseason games, things that guys never really had.
Hey, Joe, you mentioned the tight end there, Waller, for the Raiders. You know, I'm in Reed for you guys who never really panned out because he was injured so often. I'm curious your thoughts on Logan Thomas, who's the former quarterback from Virginia Tech and has made that transition. He's a big kid. How does that football team think about Thomas?
They like him. They like him a lot. I like him a lot. He's athletic. But once again, you're talking about a guy transitioning into a position that he's never really played. I mean, anytime you transition, it takes time. Take a look at Ryan Tannehill. How long has it taken Ryan to go from wide receiver to quarterback? I think Logan's in that same situation. The familiarity with the routes, what you need to do. He is athletically gifted. I think he's going to be an important part of this offense going forward. He creates mismatches for him. But right now, it's still, once again, and you hate to say it, it's part of the process of learning. He fits into the way we would describe this offense as a group of guys learning together, and hopefully, and I think we've seen it a little bit, they get better and better. They just need to stop digging such big a hole for themselves. I mean, you're down 17, you're down 20 at the half. You really can't operate a game plan like that. Everything you do has to be thrown out the window because now you've got to just try and put points on the board.
We're talking with the steal of the 1971 NFL draft. How did you make it to the fourth round, Joe? How did that happen? They blew it.
You're 5'10" and 160-170 pounds. I think people thought I was small. Heck, I wouldn't even be drafted today.
Yeah.
So I consider myself lucky. Though in the actually the fourth round, but I was the third pick of the Miami Dolphins. That was the year that the Dolphins had to give up the number one pick to get Coach Shula there the year before. So,
right.
It's just been an unbelievable ride and opportunity to learn so much. And like I talked about when we talk about the book, the world of sports, the world of business, and our own lives all parallel one another. When you really think about the goals you want to set, the attitude that you need, the relationships as far as teamwork goes, the motivation, the opportunities that are out there. I mean, two teams get into a Super Bowl. One seizes the opportunity. The other becomes just like the 31 other teams that didn't get it done.
Yeah. Joe, by the way, the year you were drafted, even though I grew up in New York, I'm a Bengals fan, and the same year you were drafted, Kenny Anderson was drafted. He was my favorite player as a kid, and I feel like nobody ever talks about Kenny Anderson. The guy was a great quarterback.
He was. Matter of fact, Kenny and I get some trading cards every now and then. Yeah. Kenny and I led the league, AFC, NFC, at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
We shared a year. So, yeah, and I see him every now and then as we used to go around to shows and get a chance to catch up and visit. It's really great to see the guys that you competed with, some of the guys you played with. It's just, there's such camaraderie and such closeness of the guys when we played. Today, it's a little bit different because you have free agency, and the guys are moving all over the place. And so you don't really get a chance to have that established relationship with people, even as you competed against, like Roger Staubach would be another one. Phil Sims is another one. Boomer Esiason. These are guys that you competed against week in, week out, year in and year out.
Joe, I got to ask you, my producer gave me a tip on this. You're a big golfer, and you're playing your best right now. I hear you're at 2 handicap at your age, which is fantastic, and you got some new irons.
Everybody should be a 2 at 50. Come on.
Well, listen, I mean, you haven't been playing your whole life, have you? Didn't you pick the game up late?
No, actually, I really picked the game up at 40.
I got involved in
Lake Tahoe at the American Century Golf Tournament when we had it out there. And I said, if I'm, sort of the way I've approached life, if I'm going to do it, I may as well try and be the best at what I can do. Instead of, I just don't want to go out and go through the motions. I want to be the best I can be. So right. I went out and just worked and worked and worked. And I used to be a range rat. It would be nothing for me to play a round of golf and then spend 2.5 hours on the range hitting balls. So. And I keep – it's always the equipment. You know that, don't you? I mean, it's
well, what are you hitting now? Because I just got these new Callaway Mag irons, which I love. I mean, I just got them about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I just got them.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yep.
Love them. Love them. Yeah, I've literally taken like 7 strokes off my game in a couple of weeks. I'm not a great player. I'm like a 20 handicap.
No,
I hope to be
what?
As good as you.
The technology today is so good, and I think anyone that doesn't take advantage of it really can't enjoy the game as much as you really can. I mean, I got a whole new set, like I said, and they're just, they just came in yesterday. So I haven't had a chance to hit them. I had the Epic Stars, which are a very, very light set.
Yeah.
And they're great. I've played, I played TaylorMade, I played Titleist, down through the drive. My garage looks like an Edwin Watts golf shop. Okay.
I bet it does.
I literally had 47 putters. I counted them one day. I had 47 putters. All different kinds. You play in an outing and they give away a putter or something. So I just put it there.
Right, right.
I went out one day and I said, I wonder how many putters I have. 47. I said, no, you're kidding. How many sets of clubs? 8. Okay. I think we've reached our max here. And it's always, you're always experimenting. That's the thing. When you listen to guys on tour, certain guys, the guy's had the putter since he was 2, and now he's 47 or 38 or something. I mean, it's just amazing. But it's a great game of management. Eric Parsegian, my coach at Notre Dame, we used to play a little bit. He'd say, there isn't a better game of management and life than golf. Because the instant you put that peg in the ground on the first tee, you have to start managing everything, wind, sand traps, water, bunkers, greens, you down grain, are you into the grain, what's your opponent doing, the competitive part comes out, what's the weather like, where's the wind blowing. I mean, it's just, it's really just a wonderful lesson in life and in management. And then he was
like, I, I, I guess that as I was going to ask you the next question, because I played defensive back, Joe, and the guys I played with, the quarterbacks, the kickers were always the best golfers, and you mentioned all those things right there. That's probably why they're so good, because they have to deal with those things on game day.
Sure. Kickers are great at it. And, you know, yeah. If you look at a lot of quarterbacks play, and I think a lot of that simply has to do with the simple fact that most of us had a chance to play baseball. A lot of the guys were drafted to play baseball. I got drafted to Minnesota. We know John Elway was drafted. We know Marino was drafted. And it's just a question of eye-hand coordination. We get started at a very young age, and you get the chance to be able to get out there and, you know, try and hit the golf ball. The darn thing about the golf ball is it's not moving. It just sits there.
Right.
And then you beat yourself up and say, how can I not hit an object that is not moving? How can you not let that happen? So you beat yourself up and do that a little bit. But I love the game. I think to me it's, like I said, it's a great way to manage things. It's a great way to get out with Mother Nature and relax and enjoy yourself. And it also gives you a chance, I mean, from a business standpoint, where else are you going to have somebody that you want to do business with? Where are you going to get their time for 3.5-4 hours without having any distractions, where you get to sit and just get to know the individuals? That's why I love the game so much.
We're talking with Joe Theismann. Joe, getting back to the Browns here for a second, I'm curious. You know, obviously you played with a lot of great players as well. You had John Riggins, Mike Thomas, Art Monk eventually. You know, there's been a lot of talks. Sometimes people will bring up, well, the Browns have too much skill position talent. They're forcing it to Odell and, you know, Austin Hooper's being left out, or Kareem Hunt's being left out, or Jarvis Landry. Can you ever have too much talent, and can there be pressure to throw to one specific guy like an Odell Beckham?
Answer your second question first. I think you can try and game plan to try and get it to one individual. And we see this actually with the Washington football team. You look at the targets that Terry has had, McLaurin, and you look at the targets that other people have had. And you look at the catches that Terry has had. He's your best wide receiver. You know, probably could be other than the defensive line that has 5 first round picks in it. I mean, you know, he's the guy on offense. And you look at that. I always felt, you know, when Jarvis joined Cleveland, when Odell got there, with Hooper there, with the players that you have, you look at and how do you. You can't have too much talent, but that talent has to park its ego in the parking lot before they walk into the stadium. That's the most important thing. If you got a team that is talented, it gives you versatility, it gives you options, it gives you things that other teams don't have. But if you're going to have guys raising a stink about not getting enough targets, not getting enough touches, and then you get a hot running back. Because you want to get the other guy in the game, do you take the hot guy out? And because the guy that was supposed to play a little bit more didn't play, is he going to be unhappy that week? I think the Browns are as talented a football team on the offensive side of the ball as anybody in football. I believe that. And I thought played a heck of a football game the other night. I thought that was one of the best games I'd seen him play. And now you're looking for consistency. You want to see if he can do it again and again. I share this with young quarterbacks, and I try to make them understand that. The quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field. All we are is facilitators. You have to think your way through it. If you're in position on the field where you have a chance to get 3 points in a field goal, number one, you can't take a sack. Number two, throw the ball away. It protects you and protects the opportunity. And the other thing I used to have a little sign in my locker. It said, you never have to be the reason a team wins. You just can't be the reason it loses. That's a great motto for quarterbacks. You don't have to be the reason a team wins. I mean, you look at the Cowboys the other night. Dak did some great things, but it wasn't all Dak. They made special teams made a play. Yep. Defense made a play. Offense made a play. So don't have to be the reason a team wins. You just can't be that reason it loses. And most of the time you lose because you made a bad decision. If it's a bad throw, it's usually because you threw it someplace it shouldn't be anyway, and that's a bad decision. But I think the Browns, to me, are they were an untapped football team a year ago. They just they were tons of talent, but didn't understand how to play together. You give me a group of guys that are willing to play for one another and together, I'll beat a talented football team every day with more talent. That's really who we were. I mean, Joe Jacoby was a free agent. And Joe should be in the Hall of Fame as a left tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, the Browns to me, the Browns and the Lions are two teams I scratch my head and look at. And I think there's a lot of talent out there. There's more talent on that Brown offense than there is on the Washington offense if you go player by player.
No doubt.
No question.
Yeah.
That's why I think this game's a big game for both teams. You know, for Cleveland, can we continue what we did? Will we revert to mistakes that hurt us, or are we going to be the team that we think we can be? For the Washington football team, let's build off the second half and get some two good halves together. Let's see how we're going to be able to manage ourselves through that. And it'll boil down to the play of the quarterbacks. Absolutely. It always does.
Without a doubt. Joe, great stuff. Again, Joe's book, How to Be a Champion Every Day, 6 Timeless Keys to Success. Joe, you can get it from all the normal outlets, right, online?
That's right. Amazon, online. You can get it at your bookstores. And thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it. Hope it's a read that everybody enjoys. And I'm pretty sure we're going to see a really good football game this weekend between the Browns and the Washington football team.
Can't wait for it, and we really appreciate the time, Joe. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.
You got it.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.